Our goal has always been your ultimate satisfaction. We offer the best internet service for Canadian families, with no contract or commitment, and unlimited internet speed. Plus, a 7-day trial and 100% refund. Your satisfaction is guaranteed with Transat Telecom.
Welcome to the We Don't Play podcast station. I'm your host, Favor Obasi-Ike, and I'm so excited to have an amazing guest here who has been able to do so much with the esports industry. And you guys know that whenever we get an esports conversation, it's probably like once in a blue moon, so we don't take this for granted at all. And it's a pleasure to have you here, Stan. How's it going?
It's going all right, thank you. And thanks so much for having me.
You're really welcome. Anytime. It would be great for us to have a quick breakdown so that people can get to know who you are, what you do, and we can get into the discussion for today.
Sure. So, first of all, I'm Stan Yusevich. I'm the director of Esports Scholar. I'm also the Scholastic Coordinator for the United States Esports Association. So, pretty much my main, professional background is in Scholastic Esports in particular. So, I'm very passionate about ed tech and gamification and the way that gaming can influence how we look at education. So generally that's kind of where my focus is. And we at Esports are Esports Scholar rather are looking forward to the launch of our fall season, which will be coming up September 20th. So obviously everyone's in that back to school grind, and so are we.
Amazing. First of all, I don't even know what you said when you mentioned that term. It sounds so scientific. So I want to hear more about what is that? What does it mean? And could you break it down for us to understand the difference between that and something generic?
Sure. So like gamification in specific?
No, I think it was another word. No, I got the gamification. It was something else. Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. So I guess, that and what we're trying to do at Esports Scholar, maybe that was the term, is turn esports into something that takes it a bit further than just schools competing against one another. So what we do is we provide schools with coaches. So these are people who have, you know, more than 4,000 hours logged in a particular game. Some of them are very highly ranked, like Grand Champs in Rocket League or Diamond Threes in League of Legends. And on top of the coaching part, we also teach kids how to design things like their logos, player profile videos, highlight clips, and teach them about how to stream and broadcast. So the idea is to create this vibrant after-school environment where you could learn about so many different aspects of not only the gaming industry, but esports in particular, and start to build your portfolio for the future.
I love that. That makes a lot of sense, because I know that the e-learning industry, by research, I think by 2026, it's going to be a $1 trillion company or industry, so to speak, at large, macro-wise. So I'm now wondering, when it comes to letting them get nurtured within this decade, what is the strategy? Like, what are those action points that's going to help them move the needle?
Sure. So one thing is that I think a lot of schools are beginning to realize that the model of education hasn't changed in a very long time, especially, in terms of on the STEAM or STEM front. There's a lot of places where schools, I think, are beginning to realize they could do a bit more to help their students prepare for the kind of world that we're coming into. I was kind of shocked. Actually, it's now over a year and a half ago that I went to a conference in New York City about Imagine. The name of the conference was Imagine Schools. And they had on a group of high school students, and they were asking them about what they would like to see happen at school. And one of the students, I remember, mentioned that a lot of what they do in art class is still pencil and paper. And that, you know, in today's world, really you have to have a pretty firm understanding of some kind of software, whether it's like Adobe Photoshop or After Effects, in order to go after jobs in that space. So that was something that sparked, obviously, the whole part of our program that's dedicated to graphic design and video editing. But then it just kind of branched out organically from there. And really, our, I guess, kind of approach to what we're doing here is to use esports and gaming as a like a Trojan horse to almost trick kids into learning and to becoming interested in things they could actually do as a profession one day.
That's beautiful, because I think it's going to change even the type of generational influence we're going to have in the kids. Because when you think about how we learned back in the day, you know, we had a pencil, an eraser. Like now people have a digital scrapbook, you know, so it's so different now. And visually, you're actually interacting more with your content because it's no longer pen and paper. You can actually do a lot more, and that allows you to be more creative in your thinking. So I'm wondering how this is going to go into the educational pieces where people and parents also don't think of, oh, stop playing that game, or you're playing this game too much, or your eyes are hurting, and this is why your fingers are hurting. So there's going to be that kind of like balance, and right, the kid might just go extreme OD on it, and they'll be like, yeah, but he's learning, you know? So how do you balance that curve so that it's not too detrimental to their success?
That's a really good point. And there's a couple of things you brought up too. And one is that, first of all, there is a huge generational divide. So the kids of today are, you know, the generation that grew up as babies using iPads. So they've always had technology in their lives, and it comes, I think, a little bit more naturally to them than obviously less older folks. But I think in terms of the other part you mentioned about maybe getting too involved in gaming, you know, as you might have seen, China, for instance, limited gaming to only 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
Recently, or it will implement that, I guess, starting this month. So obviously that's a very bold, I guess, stance against gaming, but I think not enough people are realizing the opportunity there is to use gaming as a tool for learning. So really, I think there's a need to meet our kids like halfway and kind of use what they're already interested in as a means of teaching, you know, things that they obviously need to know.
Yeah. Do you think this is like great? And that was perfect timing, because I'm thinking about how you can create value for time and mm-hmm. still apply concept to strategy, because it's the game that's going to help them learn a little faster because they're actually entertained, but the retainability of that process also needs to be acquired.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess, you know, maybe a forte to that whole realm was, I don't know if when you were a student, you ever played the Oregon Trail. But maybe there's like ways that there can be a further blend of the world where, you know, maybe using games as a way to learn about history or to learn about economics or a range of different kinds of skills that are very, you know, needed, very important to focus on, rather.
Yeah.
There's a huge opportunity for that.
Yeah. And now when I'm thinking about this, right now, there's esports, which is sports related, and then there's e-learning, which is edutainment, like kind of, sort of. So do these two ever meet, or they're independent on their own?
So I think at the moment, just the way things stand, is that some of the most popular esports out there at the moment, you know, are shooter games. not necessarily unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on your take. Obviously, there's other games that are very popular esports that aren't necessarily violent games. Things like Rocket League, Madden, FIFA, your more traditional sport games. And then kind of in between, I guess, games that aren't necessarily gory or violent, but still have some element of violence, are things like League of Legends, maybe Overwatch and Super Smash Brothers that still have a very kind of solid professional scene. So on some level, esports are driven by what's popular, but I think there is more of an opportunity for a blending of those worlds to come about. I think at the moment, esports is still in a very Wild West kind of stage, so it'll take some time for it to further solidify as an industry, and I wonder if there are opportunities to gamify what esports is doing in a way that's relevant to students. But I think we're still a little bit away from those two worlds blending. I think the way that gaming will be used in schools might be a little bit different, but it's important for schools to have an esports team.
Yeah.
Because I guess at the end of the day, there's a lot of kids who aren't necessarily part of some kind of club or sport team, and they don't get a chance to represent themselves or their school. So by using joining an esports team, they're able to do that.
I'm now thinking, you mentioned it's like inter-school competition, but mm-hmm. it's more like a debate, but in an e-gamified way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something that someone has to adapt to. So with the kids adapted because they learn quickly, how will that play a role in like putting all the ducks in a row and not mm-hmm. comparing it to, oh yeah, we need to sophisticate this game, or we need to make them a few more levels higher? How does it work? Do they work with different softwares? Is it the same concept? Do we meet in a certain event hall so that we can actually have the same process? Like, just paint a picture so that we can see how this actively works around the community.
Sure. So I guess, you know, there's the obvious role of students being, you know, the actual gamers themselves. But beyond that, there's a way to engage other kinds of kids in something like an esports club. So, you know, the reality is not everyone's going to be a professional gamer one day,
right?
But maybe there's kids who might want to be graphic designers, or people want to be events managers, or they want to have a better understanding of how to lay out, for instance, like a LAN center, right? Yeah. Like how the computers are actually set up. And I think there's going to be a range of different opportunities for people or kids that are in high school now. By the time they're past college age, I think esports will be a much more well-established industry where getting a job as a tournament organizer or a shoutcaster or broadcaster is not such a far stretch. So I think in terms of painting the picture of what a program really brings is, yeah, it brings an opportunity for those kids that are serious gamers to show off what they do. But there's also opportunities for other kinds of creative opportunities, but also maybe management kind of opportunities in terms of learning how to actually run events. Yeah. And how to organize events in that way. So there's a lot of different kinds of roles, I guess, that come along with an esports club.
Speaking of esports club and roles, right? Now, you brought something to my attention because I was thinking about the last episode that I brought on a gentleman talking about, you know, esports. And we were touching on things to deal with, like branding, because there are brand partnerships now. Like, for example, LeBron James, I think there's a deal he has. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that, guys. But, like, there's something that artists, celebrities, athletes are doing now. Think about Drake when he did, what was it? It was a Fortnite, you know, with Travis Scott too, when he did that. So there are so many people who have done something. It's not really like popular, like NFTs now is getting ground and everything, but like, where is this going, so that even the kids that are learning can also maybe buy stocks one day, or, you know, do something with that financial currency.
Right. And I think overall there, you know, there's an emphasis in terms of, like, with branding yourself, or even just thinking of yourself as a company of one on some level starting out. It's important, because I don't think for a long time kids have been encouraged to see the world that way. And obviously, you know, not that there's, I know it's a very competitive world as now, maybe more so than it was before, but there's more opportunities for kids now too, to explore different kinds of career paths. You know, I think there's more opportunities even from an internship level for kids in high school than there were previously. So yeah, to get that foot in the door experience. And I'm sorry if I'm kind of rambling off of your topic there, but I, you know, I think that it's important for kids to really learn about how to manage themselves, really. And, you know, like I said, really kind of in terms of creating a brand of themselves, like what they want to be and what are the best means to get them from where they're trying to going to where they are now to where they're trying to go get to.
Yeah, I think that's really important for them to understand, because that way they know what they like, because they're not going to be forced to like someone they don't know or even have any interaction with. So that's really like their first touch point, so that they can be able to, like, proceed and do better things with their business, better things with their brand, and of course themselves personally. So this is something that actually makes a lot of sense, because now I'm thinking, if we now have esports and we have e-learning, what's going to happen to the classrooms? Are we going to enhance the classrooms with whiteboards or with, you know, iPads, screen sharing? Like, I'm thinking digital. I know we've not gone there yet, but we're actually closer than we thought now. So how is this going to play with the, like, with the psyche of the kid?
Right. Yeah. No, I think obviously the classroom will start to look different, but there, and it already has, but I think there's still the problem overall of like tech equity, right? Or technical equity. And some schools are going to have the latest and greatest everything, and right, it'll be a very immersive experience for those students. But I'm sure, unfortunately, there's gonna still be kids that are sitting in a room with a blackboard and chalk, you know. So I think that's overall, generally, not only for esports, but more like across the board, a bigger challenge that we have, not only as a country, but as an entire world, in terms of being able to share all this great technology that's been developed with other people who've never had access to it. Because I know there was several kids we worked with over the pandemic where, you know, they were having to share a computer with their siblings, right? And you can imagine how complicated that must have been for them to just manage their studies and their own life, having to, like, split a Chromebook with a couple of their brothers or sisters. Right. But, and then on the flip side, there's other kids who have the latest everything, and it's all just for them. So I think hopefully there's a way for us to bridge that gap. I know that, you know, it seems to be that technology, as it develops and develops, tends to get cheaper as it goes on. If you remember the first, like, VCR players, like, they used to cost like $1,000 back in the day, but they obviously are now, they're completely obsolete. But I'd hope that that barrier to entry gets lower and lower for folks, and things like rural broadband initiatives are important for you know, getting higher speed internet to people across the country. So I'm encouraged by those kinds of trends, but I think it is still a major hurdle that we have to overcome.
Yeah, I think so too, because once we address that and it's actually conveyed in a very positive, user-friendly way, is going to change. And you're right. We've never really changed the classroom ever since it got started. So the same classroom that Albert Einstein was in, the setup, you know, is the same setup we see years now. But going forward, people are on Zoom. Even Zoom has an interactive, immersive, I don't know what they call it. I think they call it, it's called immersive, where you can actually like have a full class and just have little boxes. I've not tried it myself, but that tells me that they're creating this. Look at Facebook now with AR and VR. You know, how are we gonna integrate those things with gaming? Because are they gonna interfere with the process or are they gonna enhance the process, you know?
I think they'll enhance it. And I think one thing that is being, or is kind of in the works now, in terms of maybe you've heard people start to talk about metaverses, where there'll be like an entire kind of the second life of what we're doing here, maybe like a virtual reality where not only gaming and education have a major role in that, but I think it will also be those streamers, content creators, and people in esports that help introduce that world to everybody else.
I think
the metaverse will be a pretty major for schools to be able to harness if they can. I know they tend sometimes to be behind the curve instead of ahead of it, but this is a really unique opportunity for them to latch onto something that is, I think, going to take the world by storm.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. If there's one thing you can leave with the audience today that will make them think about what we've talked about, what would it be? Because this is kind of like brand awareness. They may not even have an esports account or they don't even know what it is, but it's coming. You may not know about crypto investment, but you know it's existing. So how can they leave something behind today that they can understand so that they're prepared for anything that comes whenever it's related to them?
Sure. So I think the biggest takeaway is that because of the internet, there's a whole host of new kinds of worlds that are out there. Some of them you might not even be aware of, but they aren't restricted to those people who are already in them. Yeah. In fact, I think a lot of times you'll find that these spaces are very inclusive spaces where people want you to get involved and want you to have a better understanding of it. So for me and esports, you know, I'd want parents to at least be open-minded enough to see that maybe there's an opportunity to do something good with this, and also to teachers as well. I think that there's a really unique learning opportunity. I think that seeing the kids become so engaged and so passionate about it is a really inspiring thing too. So I think just because it's new doesn't mean it's bad, although I understand their fears. And really, I think that's really the main point too, is we're trying to bridge this gap between what our kids are passionate about and what us as adults know is important for them to understand. So if there's anything to take away, I think it's mostly that.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a really great point you mentioned there. Thank you so much for bringing that out. Wow, Stan, you've brought a lot of light to this discussion, and I know a lot of people may want to connect with you. So is there any way they can reach out to you on the platforms that are preferable to your reach?
Sure. Yeah, so again, we're Esports Scholar, and that's our handle for Twitter. If you find us on Facebook, it's the same handle. LinkedIn. And even Twitch. So if you want to reach out to us, that's probably the best way.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Stan, for bringing light to this conversation. And I look forward to bringing you back when we actually start having behind the scenes for the podcast.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.